ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, Text 23, Chapter entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. We will also be discussing the topic of Govardhan Puja. So we will just read the translation of this verse. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki was very much afraid of Kamsa and, unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. This translation and purport is by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The purport reads, The word Suvismita, meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband Vasudev were assured that their child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa. But because of affection, as they thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities, they were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word Suvismita has been used. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada writes that we are also astounded upon thinking of whether this movement of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness will be killed by the asuras or will continue to advance without fear. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurve nama nama om vishnupadaya krishna pristaya bhutale shrimade bhaktivedanta swami iti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschata deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this verse clearly indicates that although Devaki and Vasudev, when they're in the prison of Kamsa, when they saw these symptoms of the newborn baby, and they were absolutely convinced and sure that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, out of their parental love, out of their affection for this baby, because of their experience that the previous children that were born to them had been killed by the atrocities of Kamsa, so they were afraid. This is the beauty. This is the beauty wherein Devaki and Vasudev, although they were sure that the child is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet out of their parental love, they become so protective that they feel that they are going to protect the child. Although internally they know that this child is protecting all the universes. However, a similar situation we can also experience in the other Brijavasis. The Brijavasis have had so many experiences where Krishna, as a young cowherd boy, was destroying and killing so many demons. But they were not treating him as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were treating Krishna as one amongst themselves, as an equal. Because the Yoga Maya would not allow them to think that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mellows, the rasas that they enjoy with him as their sakhas, as their parents, the madhurya ras, all these rasas would not be able to manifest if they think that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today, according to the Vaishnava calendar, is the day of Govardhan Puja. On this most auspicious occasion, when the residents of Vrindavan are celebrating Sri Govardhan Puja, we are about to commence our worship of Sri Giriraj, and we do this by offering our body, mind and words during this Govardhan Puja. The real path of perfection in spiritual life is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Mahajana yena katha sapanta. So the great souls, the great acharyas in our sampradaya have set the example by performing the parikrama as a means of doing the Govardhan Puja. Madhavendra Puri, he performed the Govardhan Puja by doing the parikrama. Ishwara Puri, Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, they all with great, great devotion circumambulated Sri Govardhan. The six Goswamis, they considered this Govardhan Parikrama such a very, very integral part of their bhajan. Raghunath Das Goswami resided near Radhakund at Govardhan Hill. Sanatan Goswami, when he was living here at Manasi Ganga at Chakleshwar Mahadev Temple, he would do the Govardhan Parikrama every single day, even in his very old age. We read in our Vaishnava scriptures that Narottam Das Thakur, Srivas Acharya, they performed the Govardhan Parikrama, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also resided near Govardhan Hill. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they had their homes near Govardhan Hill and they would regularly do the Govardhan Parikrama. And our own beloved Param Guru, the founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, when he was performing his last pastimes of disappearing from this world, just days before his departure, when his body was in such a condition of old age and crippled, he could not even walk on his own. He had to be carried wherever he was going. His body was nothing but bones and skin immersed in the ecstasy of love and separation from Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's last desire was, he wanted the devotees to take him on a parikrama of Govardhan. In this way, he established the very important and sacred nature of this worship. After Srila Prabhupada left this world, in honor of his desire, his disciples later took his murti on a parikrama of Govardhan Hill. Let us now look at the history of this Govardhan Hill. This history is given in our scriptures, and particularly in the Garga Samhita. And Narada Muni explains the history to King Bahulaswa. King Bahulaswa lived in Mithila, which was the capital of Videha. He was very well established in his reputation as a good king, and he was not at all ambitious to extend his kingdom for sense gratification. There was also a householder brahmana named Shrutadev who also lived in the city of Mithila. This brahmana was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Because he was fully Krishna conscious and always engaged in devotional service of the Lord, he was completely peaceful in mind and detached from all material conditions. As such, both the Brahmana and King Bahulaswa remained pure devotees of Lord Krishna in Mithila. Since Lord Krishna was very merciful toward these two devotees, One day he asked his driver Daruka to take his chariot into the capital of Mithila. Lord Krishna was accompanied by great sages like Narada, Atri, Vyasadeva, Parashuram, Shukadeva, Brihaspati, Maitreya and others. King Bahulaswa and the Brahman Shrutadev, knowing well that the Lord has come there just to grace them with favor, immediately fell at the Lord's lotus feet and offered their respects. With folded hands, the king and the Brahmana each simultaneously invited Lord Krishna to visit their homes. In order to please both of them, the Lord expanded himself and simultaneously he pleased both of them by going to their homes. Feeling very much obliged and wanting to receive his guests to the best of his ability, the king called for nice chairs and cushions, and Lord Krishna, along with all the sages, sat down very comfortably. The king washed their feet, and afterwards he and his family members sprinkled the water on their heads and offered them flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, incense, new garments, ornaments, lamps, cows, bulls, and many other gifts. In this manner, befitting his position, the king performed the devotional service towards the Lord. Meanwhile, the Brahmana, simultaneously receiving the Lord Krishna and his associates in his home, was transcendentally overwhelmed. And out of joy, he was dancing in front of them. He could afford only simple straw mats and such places for them to sit upon. His wife prepared very simple food like rice, dal, and sabji. Krishna and his followers were very pleased to accept them because they were offered in devotional love. The instruction we receive from this incident is that King Bahulaswa and Shrutadev, the Brahman, were accepted by the Lord on the same level because both were pure devotees. This is the real qualification for being recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the meal, the King Bahulaswa requested Narad Muni to please stay on, and he posed many questions to him. The king asked, "Please tell me the glories of Govardhan Hill, and why did Lord Krishna left the Govardhan Hill as a child playfully lifts a mushroom? O best of sages, please tell me that wonderful, glorious, transcendental pastime of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Narad Muni replied, "In the highest of all the Vaikuntha lokas, in Krishna Lok, there is the neighborhood called Goloka Vrindavan. There, Radha and Krishna with their internal associates are eternally enjoying pleasurable pastimes. One day, Srimati Radharani approached Lord Krishna and said, 'If you are pleased with my love, please create a beautiful place where we can engage in our pastimes.' At that time, from Krishna's heart swung his infinite love for Srimati Radharani in the form of water and fire and fell to the ground in the form of a small pebble. While all the inmates were watching, the pebble turned into a stone. The stone turned into a boulder. The boulder turned into a rock. The rock turned into a hillock, and soon the hillock turned into a hill, with many caves, gardens, rivers, waterfalls, and became a huge mountain several miles high, the peaks touching the skies. This was Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is thus one of the most pleasing and important places in Golok Vrindavan to assist the loving pastimes of Radha Krishna and the devotees. Lord Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, once inquired from his brother Upananda how Govardhan Hill has appeared in the sacred land of Vrindavan. Upananda replied that King Pandu, father of the Pandavas, had asked this very question to grandfather Bhishma, who had narrated the following story from the Garga Samhita. When it came time for Krishna to descend into this universe, Srimati Radharani told Lord Krishna, "I'll be very unhappy to enter into the material world unless Yamuna and Govardhan are also there to assist our pastimes." Krishna explained that the Yamuna and Govardhan have already descended into this world. Many years before this incident, in the land of Salmali Dvipa, the wife of the great mountain Dronachal gave birth to a son named Govardhan. In those days, mountains were personalities. Even today they are personalities. But in those days, they could walk, they could talk, they could procreate. So we see here that Dronachal's wife gave birth to baby Govardhan. At the time of Govardhan's birth, all the demigods appeared in the sky and showered flowers upon him. The great mountains like the Himalaya and the Sumeru, they came to offer their respects to Govardhan, and they circumambulated him and they called him as crown jewel of Raja. Now this was still in the Salmali Dvipa. One day, Pulatsa Muni was traveling and he came to Salmali Dvipa. Upon seeing Govardhan Hill, he requested Giriraj's father Dronachal that in my place of bhajan in Varanasi, there are no mountains. But this Govardhan is such a beautiful mountain, I desire that I can take Govardhan to Varanasi to do my worship. So with a very heavy heart of imminent separation, Dronachal gave his permission to Pulatsa Muni. But Govardhan made a condition. He said, "I will go with you, but anywhere you place me on the ground, I will not move from that place." So Pulatsa Muni began his journey. By his mystic powers, he was able to carry Govardhan by the blessings of Govardhan. But Govardhan had come to this world only to assist Krishna in his divine pastimes, and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. So therefore, as Pulatsa Muni was passing by Brajabhumi, by the will of the super soul within his heart, he had an unbearable urge to respond to the calls of nature. Now a call of nature is very difficult to resist. So Pulatsa Muni immediately had to place Govardhan down, and he performed his ablutions and he washed his hands. Then he went to lift Govardhan, but he would not move. So he tried with all his strength, but Govardhan would not move at all. He became very upset. Pulatsa Muni became very upset and he cursed Govardhan. He said that every day you will reduce in size the length of a mustard seed. When Govardhan first came to Vraja in the beginning of the Satya Yuga, he was 8 yojanas long, that is 64 miles, 5 yojanas wide, that is 40 miles, and 2 yojanas high, that is 16 miles. But actually, when Govardhan received this curse from Pulatsa Muni, he was very happy. He said that because I have come to Vrindavan to assist Lord Krishna in his pastimes, it would have been very difficult for him to climb on such a big mountain. So if my size becomes small, then it will be very easy for Krishna and his friends and the gopis to have their pastimes within my caves. Our Goswamis explain that the internal reason why Govardhan is reducing in size is due to its feeling of separation from Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani herself, she is the Lord's Ladini Shakti, the supreme most reservoir of all devotion. She has declared that Govardhan Hill be named as Haridas Varya, which means he is the best of all devotees of Krishna. Yudhishthir Maharaj is known as Haridas. Uddhava is known as Haridas. But Govardhan is the only one who is known as Haridas Varya. Why? Because Sri Giriraj pleases Krishna the most by giving pleasure to his devotees, the cows and the cowherd boys. Thus we can understand from Srimati Radhanani's own words that the best devotee is that devotee who gives their very life to serve the servants of the Lord. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram along with their calves, cows and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Govardhan exhibits the Ashtasattvika Vikar, which means the ecstatic symptoms of love for Krishna to a very unlimited degree. The three prominent symptoms of ecstatic love are standing of hair on the end of the body, unlimited tears flowing from the eyes, and perspiration. We will examine how Giriraj is exhibiting these symptoms of ecstasy. The standing on hair of his body are the beautiful, beautiful fresh green grasses that cover Sri Giriraj. Those grasses have four very, very wonderful qualities. The first quality is that they have sugandha. That means it is the unlimitedly fragrant. Each blade of grass has such ambrosial, intoxicating fragrance. There are hundreds and hundreds of millions of such blades of grass, each emanating such a fragrance to give pleasure to Krishna and Balaram, Gopa Gopis, and especially to the cows. Another quality is these grasses are sukomal, which means they are very, very soft. Each blade of grass on Govardhan is personally orchestrated in such a way that they are so very, very soft that they give ultimate pleasure to the lotus feet of the gopas and the gopis and to the hooves of the cows. And when the cows eat this grass, not only is it very nectarine, but it is so soft that it does not hurt their mouth and it does not cut their tongue. The next quality of this grass is their Pushti Vardhana. The grass of Govardhan is very, very nutritious. When the cows eat this grass, they never get tired. They never get hungry or thirsty. And they can never catch any type of disease. The fourth quality of the grass which grow on Giriraj is their Dugdha Sambhaka. This quality of the grass on Govardhan is that by eating these grasses, Krishna's cows produce the best milk. This milk is like ambrosia and Srimati Radharani, Yashoda Mai, and the gopis, they use this milk, which is produced from the grass of Govardhan Hill, to make unlimited preparations for Lord Sri Krishna and Balaram for their pleasure. The grass of Govardhan Hill is always watered not by ordinary rain, but because the cows are so satisfied eating this grass, they just pour their milk constantly on the Govardhan. So this grass is profusely fed by their milk, and it is not only for the pleasure of the Brajavasis, but even the demigods in the heavens, they send their horses to feed on this grass to the Govardhan Hill. And the sun, being so pleased, he gives his most nourishing and special sun rays to help grow the grasses of Govardhan. The next symptom is of tears flowing unceasingly. The tears of Sri Giriraj manifest as the innumerable waterfalls, rivers, lakes, and ponds. At the time of Lord Krishna, and if we have the eyes to see, we can see them now, that the little rivers of Govardhan are flowing. They are flowing on the rocks of gold, and those golden rocks are decorated with jewels like emeralds and diamonds and rubies. And we see the beautiful form of crystalline clear waters of Govardhan, his tears cascading on these rocks in the most beautiful sight of all. The waters of Govardhan are the liquid prema coming from his heart. And as Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys bathe in these lakes, Sri Govardhan has the opportunity to embrace each and every one of them as they take their bath. The waters of Govardhan are so sweet and nectarine because they are the offering of his love, that when Krishna and the gopas, when they drink the water after feeding the cows, they become so intoxicated and they roll in the grass in ecstasy and they dance and have fun. The third symptom of perspiration, the perspiration of Govardhan is the morning dew that covers him to give very, very cooling, refreshing pleasure to Sri Krishna and Balaram and to the cows as they are herding. The stones of Govardhan during the winter, they become very comfortably warm, and during summer, they are cool and refreshing. The gopis, sometimes they feel great distress in their hearts that Krishna is traversing on Govardhan Hill and through the pastures of Vrindavan. His feet are so very soft. What will happen if he steps on a hard stone or a rock? In this way, they are constantly in anxiety. But Govardhan, what does he do? Wherever the feet of Krishna, Balaram and the gopas land, that stone becomes very soft. It melts in ecstasy. Today, there are certain places where we can even see the footprints of Lord Krishna, of the cows, and the stick that he carried, and the flute. When Krishna steps on a thorn, Giriraj arranges that thorn becomes soft as a flower petal. And when he steps on a jagged stone, they become soft as very, very tender lotus flowers. The glories of Govardhan are innumerable. Sri Giriraj is eternally offering his puja in every possible way for the pleasure of the Lord, especially for the pleasure of his devotees. Giriraj is also extremely compassionate. to all the living beings. He manifests that compassion by facilitating such wonderful pastimes for Krishna and Balaram. And those who repeat these pastimes, those who glorify these pastimes, by that, throughout the world, they are liberating and ultimately giving pure love of God to all the living entities throughout the world. One day, the Braja Gopis, they were feeling great separation from Lord Krishna. So they sat on the bank of Manasi Ganga. And Lord Krishna, in his beautiful form of a 7-year-old cowherd boy, lifting the Govardhan Hill, gave them his particular darshan. So the grandson of Lord Krishna, Vajranab, he installed that same very deity as Haridev on the banks of Manasi Ganga. This was 5,000 years ago. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan at Govardhan, he personally entered into the temple of Haridev and with great loving ecstasy took the darshan of Haridev and danced and sang in kirtan for many, many hours. And the people of Govardhan, in great astonishment, filled with the love of the Lord in their heart, were able to witness the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu performing his dance of divine ecstasy in this temple while he was chanting the holy names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is recommended in the Shastras that the parikrama of Govardhan should be started at Manasi Ganga by taking the blessings of Lord Haridev. I would like to tell you briefly something about the history of Manasi Ganga. It is described in our scripture that there was a demon whose name was Pramilasur. He approached Vasishtha Muni after having defeated all the other demigods. He wanted the Kamadhenu cow from Vasishtha Muni. Now this cow, Kamadhenu, was providing so much milk and ghee and all the milk products. In fact, Kamadhenu cow practically provided everything to Vasishtha Muni. And now this demon, he came in the shape of a brahmana and he was begging from Vasishtha Muni that he wanted this cow. At that time, Vasishtha Muni was observing Maun Vrat, so he could not speak. So his cow, whose name was Nandini, she spoke. She said, I am the cow of Vasishtha Muni and you are a demon. You have come here in the guise of a brahmana to take away this cow from Vasishtha Muni. I therefore curse you that you become a female calf, Hare Krishna. So when Pramilasur was cursed like that, he was very much embarrassed and he begged Vasishtha Muni and he begged Nandini, please, please, don't let me become a female calf. And they gave him a benediction that you will become a female calf, but in Dwapar Yuga, when Krishna will liberate you. So he became Vatsasura. When Krishna and Balaramji and Gopas were playing with cows in the pastures of Vrindavan, he would have so many wonderful leelas. One day, Vatsasura in the form of a little female calf came specially to kill Krishna and Balaram. Now all the other calves and cowherd boys thought that this little calf was just one of them. But Krishna, he understood. And he told Balaramji that you see this beautiful little calf? It is a demon that has come to kill us. But you watch and see what I will do. Krishna picked up that calf by his legs, rolled him around and threw him on the ground. And Vatsasur was dead. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! But the Gopas, they were very upset. They told Krishna that you are Gopal, means that you protect the cows. And now you have killed a baby cow. We will not play with you. You have committed a big offense. So until and unless you go and perform some sort of a ritual that will purify you, we will not talk to you. So Krishna said, that is all right. If you want me to take a bath in the Ganges, I will do that. And all the holy places are here in Vrindavan. There is no need to go anywhere else or visit any holy place. So Krishna called for Mother Ganga to come, and Mother Ganga came and filled up this beautiful kund, which is now known as Manasi Ganga. Once upon a time, Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Mai and the elderly Brijvasis, they were listening to a katha by a Brahman who was speaking wonderful story of the glory of the Ganges. In this story, it was described that Garudji, he captured a serpent and was flying with that serpent and happened to fly over the Ganges. And some little water from the Ganges happened to sprinkle on that serpent. Immediately, that serpent took a four-handed form as an eternal resident of Vaikuntha. Then Garuda took that beautiful Vaikuntha Vasi and put him on his back and took him right to Vaikuntha Lok. So when Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Mai heard this katha, they were very excited. They said, we must go to an Ganges and take a dip in there. We must go and bathe in the Ganges. So they started packing up their bullock carts and they were making preparations to go. In the meantime, Krishna came and asked, what are you doing and where are you going? We are going for a pilgrimage to the Ganges. He said, there is no need to go anywhere because the Ganges is here in Vrindavan. It is at Govardhan Hill in the form of Manasi Ganga. So he explained this story, how the Ganges had come to Manasi Ganga. And Krishna brought Nand Maharaj and the cowherd men here. And when they came, they saw the beautiful personified Mother Ganges sitting on a crocodile, giving darshan to them, just to give proper evidence that yes, the Ganges is here. But because this Ganges is in Brajabhumi, it is 1,000 times more purifying than bathing in the Ganges anywhere else. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki! Now Krishna, for the pleasure of his devotees, would perform innumerable pastimes at Manasi Ganga. We will talk about one such pastime which has been given in Gopal Champu, which has been written by Srila Jiva Goswami. One night, it was getting kind of late. Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they needed to cross the lake. At that time, Manasi Ganga was very, very big. But there was no boatman except one who was Krishna himself, disguised as a boatman. He was also dressed up like a boatman. And he had an old boat which was very rickety. So they came to Krishna and requested him. They said, please take us across Mansi Ganga. The gopis did not know that the boatman was Krishna. So they had some debate over the cost. And then Krishna said, yes, I will take you. You come on the boat. So he started to row. When they were in the middle of the lake, Krishna said, in the role of a boatman, I am very hungry. I have no strength. If you want me to row further, you have to give me all the butter, the ghee, and the yogurt which you have in these big pots of yours. So they had no other choice. They gave him all the butter, all the ghee, and the yogurt. And he started eating practically all the yogurt, all the butter, and all the ghee. Then he started to row again. He rowed a little further. He said, my limbs are very sore. You have to massage my legs and my arms. Otherwise, I will not be able to take you any further. And he kept the rows down. So the gopis, they began to massage his legs and arms. Oh, Mr. Boatman, please take us. It is getting late. So he continued for some more time and then again stopped. He said, there is too much weight in this boat. This boat will sink any time. So you have to throw all the pots of the butter and the yogurt and all the jewelry that you are wearing into Mansi Ganga. Only then I'll be able to take you a little further. So the gopis, they threw all the pots, all the jewelry, everything into Mansi Ganga. Once again, Krishna started to row the boat. After going a little further, he said, still there is too much weight in the boat. So what to do? He said, now you have to throw all your clothes into the Mansi Ganga. The gopis caught hold of him and said, Mr. Boatman, we'll throw you in Mansi Ganga. He somehow accepted and started rowing further. But then he played another trick. He created very thick, dark clouds, lightning in the sky, and he himself started rocking the boat. The Brijavasis, the gopis, they became very, very afraid. And in great fear, Srimati Radharani put her arms around the boatman's neck and said, oh, boatman, boatman, please save us. And when she did this, she felt something hard poking into her. She caught it and pulled on it, and from the clothes of the boatman came a flute. Then they all understood that this was none other than Shyam Sundar. After that, they had very, very loving pastimes throughout the night at Mansi Ganga. So it is said, every stone of Govardhan is non-different from the body of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wore one around his neck, and he actually saw the body of Krishna in that Govardhan Shila. It was always moistened by his tears. These tears were the ecstasy of his love for Lord Krishna. So, while circumambulating the Govardhan, one should not step over any stone. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standard when he came here, and all Gaudiya Vaishnavas following in his footsteps should very carefully avoid placing feet on top of the Govardhan or any of the stones which are lying around. And also, no devotee should take any stone of Govardhan either for worship or for souvenir, because unless one gets very heartfelt blessings of the spiritual master and performs various types of very sacred puja, it is considered an offense to take Govardhan Shila outside of Brajabhumi. Now, the Govardhan is not only Haridas Varya, that means he is not only the greatest of all devotees of Krishna, but he himself is Krishna. At the time of Govardhan Puja, he entered into the Govardhan and assume that huge form. It is the most spectacular deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He accepts our worship by very lovingly allowing us to circumambulate Him. He is the greatest devotee because He is always giving pleasure and protection to the Lord's dear servants. Go means cow, and Vardhan means to protect. So, Govardhan means to protect the cows. Which means, by giving pleasure to the devotees and by protecting Krishna consciousness of the devotees, that is the greatest worship of Sri Giriraj. Govardhan Hill is shaped like a peacock. The eyes are Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. The mouth is Mukharavinda. And the tail is Puchri. The neck is Dhangati, which is a very thin place. Krishna performed many leelas, and it is very, very interesting to hear these leelas at Dhangati, which we will do some other time. One day, Krishna and Balram saw that the cowherd men were preparing for a sacrifice. Krishna asked his father, "My dear father, what is this arrangement going on for a great sacrifice? What is the result of such a sacrifice? And for whom is it meant? How is it performed? Will you kindly let me know? I am very eager to know this procedure, so please explain it to me, the entire purpose of the sacrifice." Upon this inquiry, his father Nanda Maharaj remained silent. He was thinking in his heart that Krishna is a young boy. He will not be able to understand the intricacies of a yajna. So he just kept quiet. Krishna, however, persisted. "My dear father, nothing should be kept secret from the family members and friends. Although secrecy may be maintained for persons who are inimical, therefore you cannot keep any secrets from me. So please tell me, what is the sacrifice that you are preparing for?" On hearing this inquiry, Maharaj Nanda replied, "My dear boy, this ceremonial performance is more or less traditional. Because rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra, and the clouds are his representatives, and because water is so important for our living, we must show our gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, that is Maharaj Indra. We are therefore arranging to pacify King Indra, because he has very kindly sent us clouds to pour sufficient rain. And for us, rainfall is very important. We are farmers, so to produce grains, and without grains, we cannot live. Therefore, rain is necessary. And because Indra is providing that rain, we should perform this sacrifice." After hearing this, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the presence of his father and all the elder cowherd men, spoke in such a way as to make the heavenly king Indra very angry. He suggested that they forego this sacrifice. His reasons for discouraging the sacrifice to please Indra were twofold. First, he said, there is no need to worship the demigods for any material advancement. All results that we get by worshipping the demigods are in any case temporary, and only those who are less intelligent are interested in temporary results. Secondly, he said, whatever temporary results one derives from worshipping the demigods is actually granted by the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why should we worship the demigods? Without permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot bestow any benefit upon others. But sometimes the demigods, they become puffed up. This is by the influence of their material nature. Thinking themselves all in all, they forget the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. And this is exactly what happened with King Indra. King Indra is not a demon. He is a devotee. But because he was puffed up, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first made Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja, which had been arranged by the coward men in Vrindavan. My dear father, Lord Krishna said, there is no need to worship the demigod Indra. Our specific relation is with Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan Forest and nothing more. I therefore request you, my dear father, to begin a sacrifice which will satisfy the local Brahmanas, Govardhan Hill, and let us have nothing to do with Lord Indra. After hearing this statement by Krishna, Nanda Maharaj replied, my dear boy, since you are asking, I shall arrange a separate sacrifice for the local Brahmanas and Govardhan. But for the present, let me execute this sacrifice known as Indra Yajna. But Krishna replied, my dear father, don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and the local Brahmanas will take much time. Better take the arrangements and paraphernalia you have already made for Indra Yajna and just use it for performing Govardhan Puja. Maharaj Nanda finally relented. He convinced all his coward men that we have to accept what Krishna is saying. And the coward men then inquired from Krishna how he wanted the Govardhan Puja to be performed. And Krishna gave the following directions. Prepare very nice foods of all descriptions from the grain, the ghee and the milk. Prepare rice, dal, halwa, pakora, puris and all kinds of milk preparations such as sweet rice, rabdi, sweet balls, sandesh, rasgullas and ladus, and invite the learned brahmanas who can chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations to the fire. The brahmanas should be given all kinds of grains in charity. Then decorate all the cows, feed them well. After performing this, give money in charity to the brahmanas. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs and the lower grades of people, such as the chandalas or the fifth class of men, who are considered untouchable, they also may be given sumptuous prasad. After nice grasses have been given to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately begin. This sacrifice will very much satisfy me. So when Krishna spoke like this, Nanda Maharaj and all the Brajavasis, they started following his instructions, and from that day, Govardhan Puja has been going on and is known as the Annakuta. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna therefore advised the coward men to stop Indra Yajna and begin the Govardhan Puja. In order to chastise Indra, he was very much puffed up and at being the supreme controller of the heavenly planets. Krishna wanted to teach Indra a lesson. The honest and simple coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything that he had advised. The inhabitants of Vrindavan assembled together decorated their cows and gave them grasses. The gopis dressed very luxuriantly and they sat on the bullock carts chanting the glories of Krishna. The brahmanas assembled there to act as priests and to chant the Vedic hymns. When everything was complete, the offering was made. Krishna assumed the great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that he was himself Govardhan Hill in order to convince the devotees that Govardhan Hill and Krishna himself are identical. Then Krishna began to eat all the food that was offered. Those huge quantities, the huge mountains of food that was offered, Krishna personally accepted and started to eat it all. And then he paid obeisances to the huge form of Krishna. And simultaneously the Brijavasis could see Krishna in the form of Govardhan Hill and Krishna in the form of a baby cowherd boy. Thus performing the Govardhan Puja, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan followed the instructions of Krishna and afterwards they returned to their respective homes. After every festival, when the devotees go back, they are very much satisfied and they are very happy. So in this occasion also, all the Brijavasis, they went home and they were feeling very satisfied and happy. But one person was not feeling very happy, and that was King Indra. When he understood that the sacrifice which was meant for him was at the instance of this little boy Krishna, offered to Govardhan by the Brijavasis, he became very angry. He is the director of different kinds of clouds. So he called for the Samvartaka clouds. These clouds are engaged in service of annihilating this entire universe. When these clouds, when they pour rains, the entire universe is submerged under water. So this shows the extent to which Indra wanted to punish the Brijavasis for not offering the yajna to him and instead offering it to Govardhan. He asked the Samvartaka clouds to go over Brijabhumi and pour heavy rain to inundate the entire place. Indra cursed the action of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and said, "These coward men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority on the advice of this talkative boy who is known as Krishna. He is nothing but a child, and by believing this child, they have enraged me." So these clouds, Samvartaka clouds, were kind of hesitant in going and pouring these heavy rains. So Indra assured them, "I am coming along with you. I will come on my elephant Airavat and I will be followed by heavy, heavy rains and lightning." Thus, he ordered the Samvartaka cloud to go and destroy the prosperity of Vrindavan. The men of Vrindavan have become too puffed up. Indra was thinking like this. The men of Vrindavan have become too puffed up over their material opulence and are overconfident due to the presence of their tiny friend. He is simply a talkative, childish, and unaware of the complete cosmic situation. Although he is thinking himself very advanced in knowledge, because they have taken Krishna so seriously, they must be punished. The clouds, they perform their duty, and at the instance of Indra, they pour heavy rains. The rains did not come in drops. It did not come in trickles. It came down as if there were pillars of rain pouring over Vrindavan. There was constant lightning and thunder, blowing of severe winds, and incessant falling of rain. The rain seemed to fall like piercing sharp arrows. The situation was very dangerous, especially for the animals. The rainfall was accompanied by great winds, and every living creature in Vrindavan began to tremble from the severe cold. The cows were crying. The Brijavasis in that situation knew nothing else but to come to Krishna. Unable to find any other source of deliverance, they all approached Govinda to take shelter at his lotus feet. The cows, especially being much aggrieved from the heavy rains, bowed down their heads, and taking their calves beneath them, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead and took shelter at his lotus feet. At that time, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to pray, "Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, you are all powerful and you are very affectionate to your devotees. Because we followed your instructions, Indra is very angry with us. And now look, torrents of rain, hail, horrible winds are lashing us. Look at your cows. They are trying to cover their baby calves with their bodies. And they are trembling. Tears are pouring from their eyes." When Krishna heard the Brijavasis speak like this, he looked at them and he smiled. He said, "There is nothing to worry and there is nothing to fear. I will protect you." By his own inconceivable arrangement, he walked to the Govardhan Hill. It was pouring heavily, except the path where he walked. So not a drop of water touched him. And Krishna, small little 7-year-old boy, lifted with his left hand the Govardhan Hill, and the whole earth planet was shaking. There was a rumbling, tremendous sound. It was thunderous, which spread throughout the universe. It was a drastic scene. Krishna uprooting the hill from the ground effortlessly, exactly as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground. Bol Krishna Kanhaiya Lal Ki. Bol Shri Govardhan Dhari Ki. According to Kavi Karnapur, as the hill was raising chunks of dirt and falling from the sides, it made a barrier around the ground so that the water couldn't come in. And according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna by his Ichha Shakti created heat around the hill that evaporated all the water. Krishna smiled and called out to all the residents of Vrindavan, "Everyone please come, there is no fear. Shri Giriraj Govardhan is so merciful and so compassionate. Because we have worshipped him so very nicely, he will give us protection. Now bring your cows, bring your calves, bring your family members and bring all your belongings and come under this Govardhan Hill. Do not be afraid." He said, "Do not think that this hill will fall from my hand." It is said that Govardhan looked exactly like a huge, magnificent, jeweled umbrella that was decorating Vrindavan Dham. Being assured by Krishna, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan entered beneath the great hill along with their property and animals, and they all appeared to be safe. The Brijavasis were amazed. They were enamored. All of them surrounded Krishna from all directions, and Krishna was glancing upon them. Every cow, every calf, every gopa, every gopi, every living entity which was under that hill was thinking within his heart that Krishna is glancing only at me. This is the power of Krishna, to reciprocate with every devotee. He is Rasaraj. He is Rasa Bihari. He can fulfill everyone's desires completely and simultaneously. Everyone wanted to reciprocate with Krishna according to their own relationship. The Brahmanas were offering blessings to Krishna. The Gopas, that is the friends of Krishna, they were exchanging jokes, they were patting him on the back, they were gazing at his beautiful face. The young gopis, they were gazing upon Krishna like the Chakora bird gazes upon the moon. And through their eyes, they brought Krishna into their hearts. And in their hearts, with pure unmotivated love, they embraced Krishna again and again and again. Elder gopis, they were smelling his head. Yashoda Mai, she said, "My darling son, you are so impudent, you are so restless. You do not listen to anyone. Your senses are so much uncontrolled. For so many years we have been living peacefully in Vrindavan performing Indra Puja, and you disturbed the whole Indra Puja and you made Indra so angry. Now look what's happening." And then, out of motherly love, she reached up and felt Krishna's hand and began to cry. "Little Gopal, your hand is so soft, but Govardhan Hill is so hard and it is so heavy. I cannot tolerate the stress you must be feeling." And then Yashoda Mai, in pure motherly love, offered a prayer to Giriraj. She said, "Govardhan Hill," she prayed, "O Giriraj, please be compassionate to me and grant me one boon. Please, on the hand of my child Krishna, become very soft and become very light, so that you do not inflict upon him slightest bit of pain." Krishna called out to Mother Yashoda. He said, "Mother, there is no pain. This is fun. The Govardhan is actually floating. I am not holding it in my hand." Meanwhile, Madhu Mangal, who is also known as Batuk, he came to Vrindavan with Purnamasi. He is a Brahmin. He is a coward boy, but he is a Brahmin. He said to Yashoda, "Oh mother, please do not speak like this. If insignificant little Indra did not become angry, we would not see this beautiful festival and sweet nectar by watching Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill." Yashoda Mai said, "Madhu Mangal, you are speaking so boldly. Lifting such a huge mountain is not a joke. This is not a festival. Look at Krishna, he is perspiring. He has become pale. His face is like a lotus flower dried up in a snowstorm. How can a mother tolerate such a thing, seeing her son in such hardship?" Krishna said, "Mother, I am having fun. Actually, Govardhan is so merciful. He is floating in the air. I am just standing here as a formality." Yashoda chastised Krishna and said, "If that is true, I will believe you if Govardhan floats on its own and flies to the sky without your holding it." Madhu Mangal, he said, "Mother Yashoda, I will tell you a secret. Actually, the hill is held up by my Brahmanical powers. My Brahma Tejas, it is so strong that I am giving him the strength to do so." Mother Yashoda said, "You impudent boy, you are telling jokes while I am burning in pain?" Nanda Maharaj said to Yashoda, "Why are you chastising Madhu Mangal? Krishna needs encouragement and Madhu Mangal is encouraging him. Let him encourage Krishna." Meanwhile, The Brijavasis are enchanted by seeing Giridhari's Tribhanga form. They are all praising Krishna. One Brijavasi said, "Look, with his left finger he is holding the Govardhan hill, and with his right finger he is playing the flute, and he is playing such sweet melodies." Madhu Mangal, he immediately told Krishna, "Please stop playing that flute. If you play the flute, Govardhan will become ecstatic and he will fall on us. We have seen the power of the sound of your flute. Mountains and stones melt into liquid, and liquid becomes stone. So what if this Govardhan becomes liquid? We will all drown under him." Gopas say, "Let's pray to Govardhan that it does not go into ecstasy and he remains stable and maintains sober." One gopi, according to Kavi Karnapur in the Anand Vrindavan Jampu, cried out to Srimati Radharani and said, "Please do not move your eyebrows, because Krishna may tremble when he sees your moving eyebrows and he may lose his concentration on holding the Govardhan, and we are all standing below it. So your moving the eyebrows will be very, very dangerous. Please do not move your eyebrows." Krishna gazed at Srimati Radharani. This is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada tells this story, and Radharani glanced at Krishna, and Krishna became so ecstatic, and seeing her beauty, which is the manifestation of her love, he began to perspire and tremble. And all the coward men thought that Krishna is becoming tired and that is why he is perspiring and trembling. So all of them, the elderly gopas, they picked up the sticks and started to support the Govardhan. Madhu Mangal laughed and he said, "What can your sticks do? They are only scratching the bottom of Govardhan." Krishna said, "Why are you interrupting their parental love? They are offering this service out of love for me. So let them support the Govardhan." Yashoda Mai suddenly realized, and she told Krishna that, "You must be very tired. I have brought cakes, yogurt and cream. You must be hungry. Stop playing your flute so that I can feed you." Madhu Mangal agreed and said, "I am also very hungry." Krishna said, "I am not tired, but you may feed me if you please." So Mother Yashoda had Subal put prasad in Krishna's mouth as he was holding his flute in one hand and Govardhan in the other. Such wonderful festival was going on underneath the hill. Now let us take a look at what is going on above the hill. Indra was outraged. He was screaming at the Samvartaka clouds, "Destroy them, destroy them." The Samvartaka clouds with millions of lightning bolts were striking Govardhan hill, massive rain, storm coming down. Indra himself was pushing the wind gods. Tornadoes, cyclones, hurricanes came at Govardhan to somehow push it off Krishna's little left finger. Meanwhile, on the top of the hill, because Giriraj was in touch with Krishna's fingertip, he was so happy, he was so surcharged with pleasure that the deers on top were walking and dancing. The birds were happily flying and singing, and all around there was no inconvenience that they felt. Storms raged harder and harder and harder. Govardhan is very happy. It is like a Maha Abhishek. But Kavi Karnapur explains how there was a storm under the hill also. Krishna's bluish body was like a rain cloud. His peacock feather was like a rainbow. And the glance of the gopis and his yellow dhoti were like lightning. And the beauty he was manifesting was like an unlimited torrential storm of love, showering upon all the residents of Vrindavan, and they were inundated by that beauty and love. By the mercy of Giriraj, all the Brijavasis enjoyed endless happiness. They were reciprocating in their particular rasa. In Shanta Rasa, the cows, deers, peacocks, they were giving pleasure to Krishna. In Dasya Rasa, Raktak, Patrak were serving Krishna. In Sakhya Rasa, Subal, Sridhama, Madhumangal, they were all laughing, joking and embracing Krishna. In Madhurya Ras, Radharani and the Goping, they were all exchanging loving glances. And in Vatsalya Ras, the elderly Gopas and the Gopis, they were feeling so distressed seeing that the little Krishna was holding Govardhan in one finger. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for one entire week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other discomfort. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding up the mountain with a little finger of his left hand. Despite Indra's fury, for 7 days, he could not move a single grain of dust at Govardhan Hill. There were millions of trees of Govardhan, but with all the winds and cyclones and tornadoes, Indra did not have the power to remove a single leaf from any one of them. Ultimately, the Samvartaka clouds were absolutely exhausted. They ran out of rain. They fell at the feet of Indra and admitted their total defeat. Indra's pride was crushed. He gave up and left that place in complete shame. When the sky became completely cleared of all the clouds and there was sunrise again, the strong wind stopped. At that time, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known now as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, said, "My dear coward men, now you can leave and take your wives, children, cows and valuables because everything has ended. The inundation has gone down along with the swelling of the waters of the river." But the problem was, nobody wanted to leave. This was such a beautiful festival. Normally, Nanda and Yashoda were with Krishna in the morning and evening. Throughout the day, he was with his friends herding the cows. And the gopis are in separation from Krishna day and night. Sometimes they get to meet him at night, but they are in separation throughout the day. For 7 days, 24 hours a day, they were all with Krishna. And Krishna was intimately, personally reciprocating with each and every one of them. Who would ever want that such a festival should end? And to think of it, this beautiful festival was born of a crisis on the verge of destroying everything. This is the wonderful example. If we turn to Krishna, even the disasters become blessings. And we achieve something which we could have never achieved if it had never happened. Krishna told to the residents of Vrindavan, "Go to your homes, everything is safe." All the men loaded their valuables on carts and slowly with joyful but heavy hearts left their cows along with their cows and paraphernalia. After they had cleared out everything, Lord Krishna very slowly replaced the Govardhan Hill in exactly the same position it had been before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna with feelings of love and embraced him with great ecstasy. The gopis, being naturally very affectionate, began to offer him yogurt mixed with their tears. and they poured incessant blessings upon him. Mother Yashoda was feeling his limbs and massaging his hands. Mother Rohini was performing arati. Nanda Maharaj gave him many benedictions and blessings. And Balaram, who is the strongest of the strong, he embraced Krishna and congratulated him. In the heavens, different demigods from different planetary systems, such as the Siddhalok, Chandralok, Gandharva Lok, they all began to shower their blessings, and they were showering flowers. They poured flowers on the surface of the earth and surrounded, and they blew their conch shells. There was beating of drums, and being inspired by godly feelings, the residents of Gandharva Lok began to play on their tamburas and please the Lord. As usual, the gopis began to chant the glorious pastimes of Lord Krishna with great feeling, for they were chanting from their heart. Indra, the king of heaven, was conscious of his offense. He approached Brihaspati, who told him to go to Lord Brahma. Brahmaji said, "You have committed a great offense. You should immediately beg for forgiveness. But do not go alone. Take with you someone who is very dear to Krishna." Being conscious of his subordinate position, he approached Surabhi, as cows are very dear to Krishna. Surabhi appeared before Krishna and requested him to forgive Indra. He has realized his mistake. Indra said, "Due to my gross ignorance, I created a great disturbance in Vrindavan by sending torrents of rain and a heavy hailstorm. I acted out of severe anger caused by your stopping the sacrifice which was to be held to satisfy me. But, my dear Lord, you are so kind to me that you have bestowed your mercy upon me by destroying all my false pride. I therefore take shelter of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, you are not only the supreme controller, but also the spiritual master of all living entities." Thus praised by Indra, Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, smiled beautifully and then replied in a grave voice like a rumbling cloud, "My dear Indra, I stopped your sacrifice just to show you my causeless mercy and to remind you that I am your eternal master. I am the master not only of you but all the demigods as well. You should always remember that all your material opulence are due to my mercy." After this, the transcendental Surabhi cow, who had come with Indra to see Krishna, offered her respectful obeisances unto him and worshipped him. The Surabhi offered prayers and she said as follows, "Although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter and you have protected them. We do not know anyone else as the supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigod for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. You are the supreme father of the whole cosmic manifestation, and you are the protector and elevator of all the cows, brahmanas, demigods and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. The Lord of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk, for you are our Indra. O Lord, you appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on this earth." Then the Surabhi cow bathed Krishna with a milk, and Indra bathed him with the water of the celestial Ganges through the trunk of his carrier elephant. The milk and the water from that abhishek formed what is today known as the Govindakund. They came here, they came to the Govindakund, and the great demigods, they also came, perform the abhishek and coronate Krishna as Govinda, the king, the real Indra, the king of all the universes. Here they perform the abhishek and so much wonderful puja. During the puja, Varuna appeared and he offered a celestial umbrella. Vayu, he offered the chamara, the fan with which the aarti was done. Agni offered the celestial incense. Chandra offered a beautiful bejeweled mirror for the Lord to see himself. Lord Brahma, he came to be the head priest. Lord Shiva came to give his blessings. With the permission of Shiva and under the direction of Brahma, it is explained that Surabhi, along with seven chaste women, wives of the sages and rishis of the earth, they all performed a beautiful, beautiful abhishek ceremony of Lord Krishna. Panchajanya, he came to blow the conch shell. Sudarshana, he illuminated all the directions. Krishna's club, Kaumudika, he guarded the arena. Personified rivers, oceans and lakes brought auspicious waters. Bhumi Devi, goddess of earth, brought a golden box full of precious herbs. Garuda, he spread his wings, forming a canopy. The Nagas, they spread their hoods to look like flags. And the personified Vedas, they chanted the hymns. Airavat came with Akash Ganga for the bath. Apsaras were dancing. Gandharva singing. And they played the musical instruments. It was at that time that Brahma offered Panchamrita and performed the arati. He then placed a crown on the head of Krishna and formally declared that Krishna is the supreme Indra. He is the Lord of all the universes. After the demigods completed the worship, they offered their obeisances and returned to their respectable abodes. Krishna was sitting here on a beautiful stone, which was like a throne. And at that time, the cowherd boys looking for their cows, they came by and they saw Krishna sitting very beautifully. And they saw all the paraphernalia of the puja that was lying over there, which was left behind by the demigods. So the cowherd boys, they picked these paraphernalia and they started offering arati and puja to Krishna. Someone was fanning him, someone was holding the umbrella, others were offering incense and the lamp and singing beautiful songs. When the demigods looked down and saw this, they were totally ashamed. Seeing the type of devotion, the simple and spontaneous love of the cowherd boys, they realized that they have no devotion at all. Seeing these little children worshipping Krishna with such pure love, they were dancing, they were singing so sweetly. The demigods in their heart of hearts worshipped the lotus feet of the gopas of Vrindavan. At that time, Nanda Maharaj came. And he saw all this going on. He asked, where did all this beautiful paraphernalia come from? What is happening over here? Sridharma said, when we came here searching for our cows, we saw that all this paraphernalia was lying here. And Madhu Mangal explained that when we came, we saw such an unbelievable incidence. There was this huge cow who was talking to Krishna. And then we saw this man with thousands of eyes on his body offering his obeisances to Krishna. And then we saw this man with four heads. He was another man with five heads. They were both offering their prayers. Then we saw this big, big elephant. He was pouring water on Krishna from the river Ganges. And we saw this beautiful cow giving unlimited quantities of milk to bathe Krishna. At that time, a celestial voice came from the sky. It was the voice of the demigods, and they told Nanda Maharaj, just as we have coronated Krishna, the Lord of all, as Govinda, you should coronate Krishna as the Lord of Braja. So, the Brijavasis then performed a beautiful puja in which Yashoda Mai offered the arati. In this way, after the Abhishek, when all the Brijavasis left that place, there was a beautiful pastime which took place. Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences, the innocent cowherd boys and men of Vrindavan began to discuss the wonderful activities of Krishna. And they were thinking that these activities are not befitting a small 7-year-old child. How come he is performing these activities? One of them said, my dear friends, considering his wonderful activities, how is it possible that such an uncommon boy would come and live with us in Vrindavan? It is really not possible. Just imagine, he is now only 7 years old. How is it possible for him to lift Govardhan Hill in one hand and hold it up just as the king of elephants holds a lotus flower? To lift a lotus flower is a most insignificant thing for an elephant. But for Krishna, he lifted the Govardhan Hill without any exertion. Another Brijavasi, he said, when he was simply a small baby and could not even see properly, he killed a great demon Putana. While sucking her breast, he also sucked out the life air out of her. Krishna killed Putana demon exactly as eternal time kills a living creature in due course. When he was only 3 months old, he was sleeping underneath a hand cart, and being hungry, he wanted his mother's milk. He began to cry and throw his legs upwards, and from the kicking of his small feet, this cart immediately broke into parts and fell into pieces. When he was only 1 year old, he was carried away by the Trinayavarta demon, who had disguised as a whirlwind. And although he was taken very high in the sky, he simply hung on the neck of the demon and forced him to fall from the sky and immediately die. Once, his mother, being disturbed by his stealing butter, tied him to a wooden mortar, and the child pushed it towards a pair of trees known as Yamala Arjuna and caused them to fall. And then, when he was engaged in tending the cows in the forest along with his elder brother Balaram, a demon named Bakasur appeared. And Krishna at once bifurcated the demon's beak. When the demon known as Vatsasur entered among the cows tended by Krishna with a desire to kill him, he immediately detected the demon, killed him, and threw him up into the air. When Krishna along with his brother Balaram entered the Talavan forest, the demon known as Dhenukasura in the shape of a donkey attacked them and was immediately killed by Balaram. Although the Dhenukasura demon was assisted by his cohorts, also in the shape of asses and donkeys, they were all killed, and the Talavan forest was then opened for the use of the animals and inhabitants of Vrindavan. Another Gopa said, when Pralambasura entered amongst Krishna's coward boyfriends, Krishna caused him to be killed by Balaram. Thereafter, Krishna saved his friends and cows from a severe forest fire. And he chastised the Kaliya serpent in the lake of Yamuna river and forced him to leave the vicinity of Yamuna. He thereby made the water of Yamuna poisonless. Another one of the friends of Nanda Maharaj said, "My dear Nanda, this boy of yours, he is performing miracles. And we do not know why we are so attracted by your son. We want to forget him, but this is impossible. Why are we so naturally affectionate toward him? Just imagine how wonderful it is. On one hand, he is only a boy of 7 years. And on the other hand, there is this huge hill like Govardhan Hill, and he lifted it so easily. O Nanda Maharaj, we are now in great doubt. Your son Krishna must be one of the demigods. He is not at all an ordinary boy." Now, Nanda Maharaj, who was explaining all these pastimes to the king in Mithila, he said that having seen Krishna's wonderful, surprising pastimes, the gopas and gopis said to Nanda and Yashoda, "O king of gopas, no one in your family could lift a hill. O Yashoda, you could not even hold a single rock for 7 days. What is the strength of the 7-year-old boy? How strong must one be to lift the Govardhan Hill, which is the king of the mountains? We have begun to doubt the identity of your unnaturally strong boy." With one hand, he playfully held up the greatest mountain as an elephant holds up a lotus flower or as a child holds up a mushroom. "O Yashoda, your complexion is fair. O Nanda, your complexion is also fair. This boy is very dark. He is different from the rest of the family. We really have our own doubts. This boy is like a Kshatriya. For a Brahman, a Kshatriya's nature is not unexpected. For Balaramji, who was a Kshatriya, we can understand. But for Krishna to act like a Kshatriya, we are having our own doubts. Now, if you don't tell us the truth, we will leave your community. We will no more accept you as our king." Now, this is an entire bunch of gopas from the Vrindavan who come to Nanda Maharaj and they are saying this. Was this boy really born in a family of gopas? If you don't tell us, there will be a very big quarrel. Sri Nanda said, As I have heard these words from Garga Rishi, I will explain it to you. I will carefully try and repeat the words which he mentioned at the naming ceremony of Krishna. Garga Rishi told me that when this child becomes of a certain age, he has already before this appeared in different colors at different times. In this particular age, he has appeared in a blackish color and he is known as Krishna. Previously, he had a white color, then a red color, then a yellow color. He also said that this boy was once the son of Vasudev, and everyone who knows of this previous birth calls him Vasudev. Actually, he said that my son has many varieties of names. According to his different qualities and activities, Gargacharya assured me that this boy would be all auspicious for my family and that he would be able to give transcendental bliss to all the coward men and cows in Vrindavan. Even though we would be put into various kinds of difficulties, by the grace of this boy, we would be very easily freed from them all. He also said that formerly this boy saved the world from the unregulated condition, and he saved all honest men from the hands of dishonest thieves. He also said that any fortunate man who becomes attached to this boy is never vanquished or defeated by his enemy. On the whole, he is exactly like Lord Vishnu, who always takes the side of the demigods, who are consequently never defeated by the demons. Gargacharya thus concluded that my child would grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualification, activities, influence, and opulence. And so, we should not be very astonished by his wonderful activities. After telling me this, Gargacharya returned home, and since then we have been continually seeing the wonderful activities of this child. According to the version of Gargacharya, I consider that he must be Narayan himself. When I heard Gargamuni say this about my son, I did not doubt his words. The words of the Vedas and the words of a Brahmana are final proof of what is true in this world. The Gopa said, if the great sage Gargamuni actually came to your home and performed the name-giving ceremony, why did you not invite us to that ceremony? All of us know that out of fear of Kamsa, Nanda Maharaj had very secretly performed that ceremony in a cow's barn. So these Gopas are now questioning Nanda that we really doubt you. If you had such a big ceremony and if Garga Acharya came to name your son, why did you not invite all of us to that ceremony? You kept the name-giving ceremony a secret even when it was performed in your own house? Sri Narada said, their bodies filled with anger and they spoke these words. The Gopas left Nanda's palace and went to King Rishabhanu. And they went to complain to Rishabhanu about Nanda Maharaj. Filled with anger for their kinsman Nanda, all the Gopas spoke to Nanda's friend King Rishabhanu. They said, O King Rishabhanu, you have a noble heart. You are the best person in our community. O King, O leader of the Gopas, you should sever your relationships with Nanda Maharaj immediately. Rishabhanu said, what wrong has King Nanda done? I should sever my relationship with him? He is my best friend. King Nanda is worshipped by the Gopas. He is the crown that gloriously decorates our community. He is my dear friend. How can I give him up? The Gopas said, O King, if you do not sever your ties with Nanda Maharaj, then we the people of Vraja will sever our ties with you. And, O thoughtful one, in your home you have a grown-up daughter of marriageable age. Think about her. Who will marry her if none of us have any relationship with you? If you, the first person in our community who have now become maddened with your wealth and opulences, find yourself unable to give her in marriage to a suitable bridegroom, the fault will be yours alone. Don't blame us. If you do not for a long time sever your ties of friendship with King Nanda, we will ostracize you from our community. O noble-hearted one, reject King Nanda. Sri Rishabhanu, he said very humbly, O Gopas, I will repeat for you what Gargamuni told me. Those words will make you free of all these anxieties. And he said that Gargamuni had said, the boy that was born in Nanda's home is the master of countless universes.
He is the master of Goloka. He is greater than the greatest. No one is greater than him. On the demigod Brahma's request, Krishna came to this universe to remove the earth's burden and kill the demons headed by Kamsa. Shri Radha, who in the realm of Goloka is Shri Krishna's first queen, has taken birth in your home. You do not know how exalted she is. I will not arrange the marriage of Radha and Krishna. They will be married in Bandiravan forest by the Yamuna shore. In a beautiful secluded place near Vrindavan forest, the demigod Brahma will come and perform their wedding. So Rishabhanu is explaining to the Gopas, O best of Gopas, please understand that in the palace of Goloka, Radha is the first queen of Shri Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, the crest jewel of the worlds. From Goloka, all you Gopas have come to this earth. The gopis and the cows have also come, only by the wish of Radharani. After speaking these words, the great sage Gargamuni left. From that day, I have not doubted Radha's exalted position even for a moment. The words of the Vedas and the words of the Brahmanas are the final proof of what is true in this world. O Gopas, now I have explained all this to you. What more do you wish to hear? Sri Narada said that after hearing King Vrishabhanu's words, the surprised people of Vraja became peaceful and free of all doubts. But they said, we want to see some proof. The Gopa said, O King, you speak the truth. Radha is Lord Hari's beloved. His potencies have made you become opulent and glorious in the world. We see that you have thousands of intoxicated elephants, tens of millions of restless horses, tens of millions of chariots glorious as the demigods' airplanes, tens of millions of beautiful palanquins, many millions and millions of cows beautiful with gold and jewels, many wonderful jewel palaces and all possible pleasures. Even Kansa himself is defeated when he sees your wonderful strength. You are the son-in-law of King Balandana, the ruler of Kanyakubaja. You are as rich as Kuvera. Even King Nanda's home does not have wealth and opulence equal to yours. The farmer King Nanda, who is the master of many cows, is poor-hearted in compassion to you. O Master, if Nanda's son is in truth the supreme personality of Godhead, then please put him to test and reveal his divinity as we all will watch. They are challenging Rishabhanu and saying that he should put Krishna to test for them to believe that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Earlier we were reading in this verse that the Brijavasis would at times accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but by Yogamaya they would be covered and again think that he is an ordinary child. And for them to accept that he is a god was very difficult. So this time, Narada Muni is explaining, hearing their words, King Rishabhanu devised a test to determine the extent of King Nanda's wealth. O King of Mithila, as everyone watched, King Rishabhanu took 10 million necklaces of giant pearls. Please listen to this very attentively. Each pearl splendid as 10 million glittering crowns, placed them in many jewel caskets and had many handsome men take them to King Nanda with a proposal for his son's marriage to Srimati Radharani. Entering King Nanda's assembly, bowing down and presenting the caskets of pearls, the handsome men bearing the marriage proposal spoke to Nanda. The men bearing the marriage proposal said, aware that his daughter Radha, who is splendid as 10 million moons and whose eyes are like new lotus flowers, is now old enough to be married. King Rishabhanu has given some thought to who should be her husband. He has decided on your son, who's charming as Kamadev himself, and whose powerful arm lifted Govardhan Hill. O Master, O King of the Vaishyas, seeing us, glorious King Rishabhanu sent us with this message. Please accept these pearls as a wedding gift. Please give a similar gift to this girl. She is very respectable and glorious. This is where the test starts. They want to see whether the opulence of Nanda Maharaj is equal to the opulence of Rishabhanu. Sri Narada said, gazing at the precious gift, Nanda became filled with wonder. Thinking to ask Yashoda if they had anything equal to that gift, he went to the palace's inner rooms. After thinking for a long time, King Nanda and glorious Yashoda came to the same conclusion. In our home, there is nothing equal to these pearls. Now, if we do not give a proper gift, we will be embarrassed before everyone. Everyone will laugh at us. What should we do? What can we give on the occasion of Sri Krishna's wedding? Observing that Nanda and Yashoda thought they had nothing suitable to give in return, Lord Krishna, the savior from distress, took 100 of the pearl necklaces and with his own hand planted the pearls one by one as if he was a farmer planting grains. When he again counted the pearl necklaces, Nanda Maharaj found that there were 100 necklaces missing. Nanda became filled with doubt. Nanda said, there are fewer necklaces than before. Alas, this is a fault of my own relatives. It looks like my own sons have taken these necklaces. Now I am very unhappy at heart. I will ask whether Krishna and Balaram took the necklaces for their playing. So Narada said, thinking in this way, Nanda asked Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan, smiled and respectfully spoke. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Father, we are gopas and we are farmers. We plant all kinds of seeds. I planted some pearls in the fields. So, hearing his son's words and rebuking him, Nanda, the king of Raja, went with him to the fields to retrieve those pearls from the ground. And when he went there, what did he see? There they saw hundreds of beautiful, tall, green-leaved pearl trees. And from each tree, there were bunches of pearls which were heavier and more beautiful than the seeds which are sown as pearls. Then the delighted Nanda could understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These glittering pearls were bigger even than the first ones. Placing many millions of bharas of these pearls on many wagons, Nanda, the king of Raja, gave them to the men to take it to Rishabhanu. They took the gift and gave it all to King Rishabhanu. O king, everyone who saw this pastime praised the great wealth of King Nanda. Filled with wonder and free of all doubts, all the residents accepted Lord Krishna's wonderful position. O king of Mithila, from that day, everyone in Vraja understood that Radha and Krishna are the beloved of each other. And the place where Nanda's son planted the pearls became the lake Mukta Sarovar, which is even today in Vrindavan. It is one of the most holy places. So Narada Muni is explaining to King Bahulaswa, in this way I have described to you the Govardhan Hills festival. At this time, we are ready for the Govardhan Puja. If His Grace Radha Kund Prabhu permits me, I just want to speak one small pastime about this particular period, which is known as the Damodar. I will cut it very short, I promise you. All of you know that Yashoda Mai tied baby Krishna to the mota. Very quickly, can anyone, I'll give you only three chances. Can anyone tell me why she tied Krishna to the motor? First, if anyone knows. Rapid fire, yes. Okay. Because he killed. Okay, all three of you are right. There is no doubt about this. But now let me give you a latest revelation as it has been given by Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu. I will not go into the details. I will tell you in short. What we hear that Yashoda Mai was chasing Krishna with a stick in her hand, and we sing these beautiful prayers every morning. But actually when that was happening, there was a conversation going on between Krishna and Yashoda. I will give you a glimpse of that conversation. While chastising him like this, Mother Yashoda said, I have a doubt. Why is it that you always take away and eat butter, which is an important part of all sacrifices? And thereafter she smiled in an angry way and told Krishna, give up all your secrecy and tell me the truth. Krishna then started crying and replied, O mother, when you ran for protecting the milk from boiling over the stove, your foot pushed over one of the pots and it broke. What mischief have I done in that? Moreover, that monkey who was inspired by the Supreme Lord himself, he started stealing butter from our home. And I was trying to stop him from stealing that butter. And exactly at that time you saw me. Tell me, what is my fault in that? Seeing that you were carrying the heavy stick in your hands, I had no option but to run away. However, you still continued running after me like a heartless person. Thereafter, Mother Yashoda, lamenting her actions a little, said sincerely to her son, O most expert logician, O best amongst all the thieves, although you are the son of Vrajraj Nanda Maharaj, you are Nanda Kumar, you still show affection for the monkeys. Your nature is just like a monkey. Maybe you should stay in the forest. Krishna replied, if you think that I am like a monkey, then so be it. From today, I shall go to the forest and live there. Yashoda was very much scared. She said, this fellow might exactly do that. Hearing this, Mother Yashoda thought he might end up doing exactly what he is saying. In order to prevent him from escaping to the forest, it is better to tie him up with a mortar. In this way, Mother Yashoda tied her son to the mortar. So now we know why he was tied. The curtain will soon be raised and we'll be performing arati, and after that there will be circumambulation. But just before that, I want all of you to repeat one prayer. Namaste Girirajaya, Shri Govardhana Namine, Ashesh Klesha Nashaya, Paramananda Dayine. Namaste Giri Rajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine.